Thank you for the warm welcome, Mr. Chairman. Conference, it was an inspiration to hear from all the speakers this morning. And it was always a tough challenge to follow our party leader, but this afternoon you asked me not only to follow Jim Allister, but to follow Kate Hoey and Councillor Henry Riley. Those three people encapsulate what politics should be about in this country: a principled conviction to do what is right. The desire to do what is right is at the heart of TUV, and that is why we're all here gathered in Temple Patrick today. And that is why this party, and this party alone, will put principle before power. The TUV message since 2007 has been a clear and concise statement of intent: that a forced coalition government is one that will fail. A voluntary coalition, a coalition of the willing, is the democratic option of this party. And only a coalition of the willing can provide a stable, durable and sustainable form of devolution for Northern Ireland. And that conference is what TUV wants. We are a party that is continually punched above our weight. We've heard today of the many successes TUV has had, but we also face many challenges. At this very conference, as our party chairman has already alluded to, last year we were set a challenge by political commentator Alex Kane. I've seen Alex earlier on, he may have left, but hopefully this will get to him. Alex Kane had this to say: "It is not enough to rattle on and on about the flaws. You need a very clear strategy for delivering the changes you want. What's your strategy for the reform and rewrite that will be required? What's your fallback position if your first choice option isn't possible?" That is a challenge TUV is eager to meet. In October, we launched our policy document, A Path to Making Stormont Work. That document was a challenge to other parties and a lifeline to the people of Northern Ireland. It contains two models of how democratic government could be obtained. So let me take you briefly through the proposals and you can make up your own mind. TUV's Plan A: a voluntary coalition. Our preference has been long known, as I've already said. A coalition of the willing, a voluntary coalition, where parties willingly go into government together. There is an election to Stormont. When the parties are returned, they negotiate with each other to see who can form a government and on what agreed platform they can form it. Those parties which then can demand the requisite support on what to do about health, education and bread and butter issues, go ahead and form the government. Those who cannot agree form the opposition and hold the government to account. Therefore, all MLAs have a constructive role to play. Ladies and gentlemen, it should not surprise you to hear that that is how democratic governments across the Western world are formed. Why is that? It's quite simple. Because it works. Our opponents say, because we don't want mandatory coalition, that we must therefore want direct rule. Why? Why does it have to be one or the other? Conference, that only shows our opponents' lack of a creative vision to make Stormont work. TUV have gone further and suggested a Plan B, something other parties do not want people to hear about, simply because it makes sense. The scare tactic used over the last 20 years in this country is the fear of direct rule. That this would be worse for the unionist people of Northern Ireland, and I fear that it would be worse than having a terrorist-inclusive government in Northern Ireland. TUV have not shied away from tackling that issue. Our Plan B: direct rule ministers working within a legislative assembly. By its nature, devolution embraces two distinct aspects. I've lost my place. That's what happens when you turn pages when you're not looking. So let me get back to that. Two distinct aspects, legislative devolution as exercised by the Assembly and executive devolution as exercised by the Executive. Analysis of the failure of the present Stormont throws up the obvious conclusion that it is the dimension of executive devolution which has failed. The passing of Anne's Law by Jim Allister is proof that legislative devolution can work if the will is there to make it work. So, if parties do not accept voluntary coalition at this stage, then we can still do better. Under TUV's Plan B policy, direct rule would be democratised. By making British ministers accountable to the Northern Ireland Assembly, in essence, they replace the dysfunctional executive. They then have to pass any legislation through the Assembly, having that legislation going through the full scrutiny of the Stormont committees. By this method, you put accountability into direct rule. At least our Plan B is one in which we seek to maximise accountability to the Assembly and, crucially, to the people of Northern Ireland. Direct rule ministers would not, therefore, be able to pass legislation over the will of the Assembly, as the scaremongers say. but would have to persuade local MLAs of any legislation they would want to pass. So let me deal with some of the naysayers, those that wish to dismiss TUV's vision for the restoration of democracy. They say this is a backward step. Mr. Chairman, have you noticed how the most sectarian institution in Northern Ireland is Stormont itself? You have to formally state your constitutional position before taking a seat. Why? Well, to allow for cross-community vetoes and the undemocratic petition of concerns to be used and abused along ethnic lines. Mr. Chairman, Conference, if you build up barriers and one community thinking in government, that will be replicated in society, not eradicated. The next claim, they say, the TUV preference is for direct rule. Well, no, it is not for direct rule. TUV demands and will work for a proper, workable system of devolution based on democratic principles. If it's good enough for everyone else in the democratic world, well, it's good enough for the people of Northern Ireland. If our politicians truly want to deliver for society, why would they want to sell the Northern Irish people short? Mr. Chairman, it's simple. We cannot have a workable voluntary coalition, then we maximise the accountability and the democratic nature of the default option. They say, but other parties won't agree to a voluntary coalition. Mr. Chairman, in Conference, why give self-interested, self-serving politicians the veto on change? Why is it good enough that MLAs and countless special advisers are allowed to say, well, the party comes first, and not the people of Northern Ireland? And the challenge to other parties who claim to be serious about voluntary coalition is this. Where was it in the Belfast Agreement? Where was it in the St Andrews Agreement, Stormont House, the Haas negotiations, and the most recent Fresh Start Agreement? It is not good enough to say it's too hard. It's not good enough to say we won't try. Politicians are elected to lead. Politicians are paid to deliver. Through mandatory coalition, there's no motivation for parties to do either. With no threat of being voted out of government, parties have no inclination to serve anyone but themselves. Little wonder at Stormont we've seen the party comes first attitude. Conference, the quickest way to ensure agreement on having a voluntary coalition in this country, if it cannot be agreed on now, is through TUV and our Plan B. Take away the ministerial cars, take away the special advisers, take away the ego massaging, and we'll see how long it takes them before they bang on the voluntary coalition door and get their feet back under the ministerial desks. And just last week, Martin McGuinness told us, as part of the reason he signed up to the Fresh Start Agreement, was to keep him in a job. Just imagine how quickly McGuinness would be on his feet, on his way to the Army Council demanding they allow him to agree to a voluntary coalition. That's my cue to go. As the flashing lights in the background saying get off the stage. There we go, back on, thank you. Oh. Third time lucky. I think the electric shuts out when it happens. Okay, back on track. So, as I was saying, okay, well, I'll shout until the mic comes back on, and then I'll try to go a bit quieter. So, just imagine how quickly McGuinness would be on his feet, on his way to the IRA Army Council, demanding they allow him to enter a foundry coalition if our plan B stopped poor Marty strutting the world stage as the spokesman for Northern Ireland. Conference, Marty would be back on his feet faster than Sammy Morrison at the prospect of singing the Queen at Stormont. See, they got me before the punchline, you know, it's put me off a track. So, ladies and gentlemen, there's no shortcut. There's much work to be done. TV have a positive and inclusive vision for Northern Ireland, and it will not happen overnight by each and every one of us working together. The Assembly election will be fast upon us. This party must hit the ground running. I'm looking forward to this campaign, a campaign that will define this party. I'll be the making of this party. Ladies and gentlemen, I will end it there.
Okay, folks, we're very nearly there. Could I just draw your attention again to the Ulster Scots concert at the Stormont Great Hall, Saturday the 20th of February, okay? So make sure you get your tickets off, Kenny. Yep, it is going here. And Alex is waving a mobile phone at me here. Yes, he's very keen that if you have any stories that are newsworthy, don't just keep them to yourself. He wants them as well so he can share them on Facebook. And we can do that among ourselves. I want to say thank you personally to you all. You've been well behaved. Our speakers have been well behaved, and that's made my job easier. But now to propose a formal vote of thanks, I'm going to ask Samuel Morrison. Turn it off. Who do you think it is tonight? Right. Our very own stunt man.
Okay, folks, good job. Everybody knows I don't need a microphone anyway. But I need to start doing something that I've been asked to do repeatedly this week, and that's with an apology. So the people that actually went to the Templeton Hotel this morning rather than the Hilton, at my instruction, sorry about that, and I'm glad you eventually found where you should have been and turned up at the right location. There's a number of people I'd like to thank for their help in setting up the conference. But we would be particularly delighted if somebody could get the alarm off.
Yeah.
this conference would not have taken place as particularly two individuals that need to be thanked more than most. And that's Joel down there at the back and Rick. They were the two key men. When it came to organising the event today and getting it all together, there's an awful lot of work goes on behind the scenes to pull off an event like this, and really appreciate the work that Joel and Rick have put in. Also want to thank Victor for coming and taking photographs for us today. Did that very willingly. And we look forward to the results of that. And I don't know if he's still here or not, but Mark, for doing the filming for us. So when you see the videos up on social media, you'll know who to thank for that as well. This is the first year we've got a sort of a conference slogan sign. And we want to thank Cedric for doing that job for us. He did that for us free of charge. So I want to put that on record. We want to thank, of course, our guest speaker, Kate Hoey, for coming over to the conference and addressing us so ably and with such an informed opinion on the issues in relation to the EU. And we also want to thank our exhibitors who helped us offlay the cost of the conference, as well as giving you lots of useful information which you could have obtained at the stalls. And I was glad to see lots of people calling in with them and availing of the goods and the information that was there. So if we could thank our two TUV stalls, and Pamela, Mary, Karen, Audrey and Elizabeth for manning them. Invice NI, TransLink, the Northern Ireland Road Safety Partnership, the Orange Community Network, Antrim Enterprise Agency, and of course the star of the show in terms of the tables that was out there, the European Commission. We would also like to place on record our thanks to the press who made the effort to be here today. We can't twist people's arms to come, so it's within their gift, and we appreciate them coming and devoting of their time on a Saturday. And also the bloggers, welcome the people from Slugger and from Eamon Malley's blog that have come here today, and will watch with interest what appears on the internet as a result of their visit. And there's also one person that we'd like to thank who doesn't really get any attention at events like this or at any function, but somebody that's vital in the back room, and that's Ruth Alistair, who because she can appreciate, and people in this room know this better than most, Jim puts up an awful lot of long hours, can travel the country and be in all different corners of it, and they can be slabbering and storming sometimes to all hours. And Jim does not miss a vote if he can at all help it. So thank you, Ruth, for loaning your husband to this party and all the effort that he's put in. Some people were saying to me during the break that they didn't have an opportunity to contribute towards the cost of the conference. We're not going to hold anybody to ransom if you want to make your way out, but there are baskets there at the door, and you can make your contribution then. So that's me. I don't think I've missed anyone, Mr. Chairman.
No, thank you.
I think so.
Thank you very much. Samuel has one more job. I got one for. We used to ask James Patterson, but we don't need him anymore. I'd ask you to be outstanding to the next level.
Before we start, folks, there is one thing I should say. There was a lot of questions put to me about what I did and what I was thinking of as I started singing the national anthem. One thing I haven't said, but is absolutely true, is the last thought that went through my mind before I started it, which was, "Dear Heavenly Father, please let me start on the right note." I doubt if that is a problem James Patterson has, but we'll start as close as we can.
God save our gracious Queen, long live our noble Queen, God save our Queen.